Gospel according to St. Luke, the 9th chapter. Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly, they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw the glory of Jesus and the two men who stood with him. Just as the men were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met Jesus. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. The Gospel of the Lord. This summer, I plan to climb Transfiguration Mountain. Now, there will be more than a couple of dwellings up at this place, more like 4 or 5 lodges, a dozen or so cabins and chalets, probably several hundred people. I expect that I will see the faces of many shine with the glory of God. And I hope to feel that warmth in the community of the gathered as we gather in God's creation, as we gather around God's table. So like the three disciples, there's always an inclination to stay, to hang around and not come down the mountain, certainly at least to return from year to year. So I'm not going to be that hard on the three disciples. And as I was reading this lesson and judging from Jesus' reaction to the disciples' inability to heal the child that had been brought to them, I wonder if Jesus might also rather have stayed up on the mountain. Not because of the Father and Son, but again, because the disciples and others did not hear, were not empowered through their faith and connection with Jesus to heal those that were brought to them. "You faithless and perverse generation," says Jesus, how much longer must I be with you? How long, O Lord, indeed? But isn't that always the temptation for Jesus? And it really was the temptations that he experienced with the evil spirit in the desert to stay up high, to enjoy privilege, to hang out where the air is clear and there are no temptations. But that's also our temptation as well. How long, O Lord? But for Jesus, it turns out, it is for the rest of his life that he will be down with us, with this generation. For Jesus now is very merely verses away, just a few verses away from that famous line where it says that he will be setting his face. I imagine it now as his shining face, always his shining face, toward Jerusalem. And what will turn out to be a destination of a very different kind of hill, a very different kind of mountain. We often call it Mount Calvary. Yep. We all, perhaps Jesus included, would rather be on the mountain, or as I was gathered yesterday in the celebration of life for Reverend John Mann, he had a big picture of a sailboat. Wouldn't we all rather be sailing? One of my mentors, Walt Reiner, always said that, but he didn't get to do it that often. So on the mountain, we're closer to God, or we think we are, closer to one another maybe. But are we really? Is that the place where we are closer to God? Is that where the glory of God really impacts our lives and our community? Throughout Scripture, the mountain is the place for God's word and messages. And certainly, the Cascade Mountains, if you hadn't figured out that's what I was talking about, and Holden Village, bears this out for me and for many of others, and a number of you have been out there yourselves. And again, we long to go back, and I will be back there this summer. But unlike Las Vegas, where what happens there stays there, what happens on the mountain does not stay upon the mountain. Jesus comes down to bring healing to those who suffer brokenness, both spiritually and physically, of a broken and perverse generation. Jesus brings the mountaintop life of God to the lost. So what does it mean to be transformed, transfigured? Is it possible for us, for the disciples, for us who follow? Is that what healing is about? To encourage, to make one another's face shine, to make a child who is in need's face shine through acceptance, through care, through inclusion, through the love of God shared with others, through forgiveness. And as we think about it, is there really anything better than to see one's face light up in the presence of someone who can make our faces shine? And is it any more delightful, or is there anything more delightful than to be able to make another shine, a child to wake with excitement and appreciation and just the blessing and glory of life? And in fact, as I've visited, and then just recently, I've had this experience where folks who are experiencing some of the deepest physical afflictions and ailments light up the faces of those around them because of their own confidence in Christ. To bring God's acceptance and love for us, that which makes our faces, our lives shine to others, is that not our calling? Is that not our own transformation? To bring this goodness, to bring this mission to others. The lesson upon the mountain is that God's light and love cannot be boxed up, packaged, restricted, put exclusively in booths, or even in churches, or exclusive communities, or even countries. Jesus came down, however you want to think of it, from on high, from God, or from the mountaintop, to dwell with us, to shine in our lives, to cause us to shine with the light of life, and to shine on others with healing. And Jesus bears with us, generation after generation, with his face set against the powers of darkness who package religion, our country, our humanity. Jesus bears with us when we don't listen to God's will and to the very call of Jesus to bring healing to others and to the nations. And so he ascends Mount Calvary and the cross. The place of deepest darkness reveals the eternal glory and light of God. From the Mount of Sorrow comes pure compassion and forgiveness, and new creation in hearing once more God's eternal forgiveness and love for us, and we are changed. "This is my son," God says, "my chosen. You are my daughters and my sons, ones who have been chosen to heal, to love. This is my son," says God, "the one who bears with and loves every generation, all of us, even unto the cross, who is present with us always in forgiveness, in love, and in sending us to heal the world. Listen to him." Amen.